Praise the Lord. All right, I want you to take your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. Matthew, chapter number 16. Let me get over there myself. Matthew, chapter number 16. And I do want to read. Well, I'll take that back. I'm going to Matthew in a minute. Go to Acts. Make sure you know where stuff is in your Bible. You say, preacher, we begin to wonder if you know where stuff is in your Bible. Acts 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19. Acts 11, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians," there's the Greeks, "preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." So now we have the Gentiles getting saved. Praise God. Amen. You're either Jew or Gentile, by the way. If you're not Jew, you're a Gentile. Jesus came into his own, his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's the gospel of John 1, 11 and 12. Aren't you glad if the Jews had not rejected him, we'd be in trouble. We're the wild olive branch that God engrafted in. That's right. And so we don't need to get boastful because Paul said, be careful. The book of Romans doing that because if the Lord will cut off the natural branch, you wild branches better be careful. You better be humble. Right. Amen. So we see a great number of them believe, turn to the Lord. Then tidings, verse 22, of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Let's pray quickly. Father, we love you tonight. We're so thankful for allowing us the health and the strength to be back in your house another time. Thank you, Father, for a good Father's Day. Lord, we thank you for you, Father. Lord, you are the greatest Father. And Lord, I'm glad we can cry, Abba, Father, that there's a right relationship between us and thee because of Christ. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd show us mercy, that you'd fill us with the Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom and direction, enable us to feed the flock that's among us. Save that nearest tail, Lord, draw us close to you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. I want to use this text tonight. Of course, we'll look at some other things about the three tasks of the local church. The three tasks of the local church. Now, we understand that the first mention of the church was in Matthew chapter number 16, verses 16 through 19. Now, I won't take time. Well, I will take time to turn there. You don't have to turn there unless you particularly want to turn there. And we have the very first mention, but hold your place where you are. And in Matthew 16, verse 16, the Bible says this, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now he said, "I will build." Now, again, I wouldn't argue with anybody. I don't claim to be a theologian in the subject, but he said, "I will build my church." The church age is coming. The book of Acts, chapter 2, the church began, but it was always in the heart of God. This is the very first mention of the church. Let me tell you something. Until Jesus came, they wasn't the church. There was Israel and everybody else. But I'm glad that Jesus came to build a church. Not a building, not a physical temple or church, but he came to build the church, the body of believers. Folks, many times in the Bible we are his bride and we are his body. We make up the mystical body of Christ. Now you say, preacher, I don't get all of that. But folks, it's what the Bible teaches. We are the bride of Christ, but we represent here the body of Christ. This building, I preach it all the time, this is not the church, this is where the church meets. But yet, God ordained local assemblies in buildings that's been set apart for that reason. And I won't get into that tonight, but we see the church was built by Christ. He said, I will build my church. It was built by him and for him and upon him. Amen. Get a hold of that. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We see the church doesn't exist, never existed until Christ came. The church belongs to Christ. He is the sole head of the church. The church will be preserved through all generations. So it was built by him, for him, and upon him. Peter means a little stone. He didn't build the church on Peter. Matter of fact, a lot of people say, well, Peter was the first pope. Well, folks, that's not scriptural. Because a pope can't have a wife. And I believe where he said Peter's mother-in-law got sick. You can't be blessed with a mother-in-law unless you got a wife. Can I get a witness? So therefore, that's not true either. That's not so either. But anyway, the church is mentioned in Scripture 115 times. And out of that 115 times, 114 times, it means the same thing. The church is an ecclesia. It's a called out assembly. A group of saved, baptized believers that come together. The word ecclesia has the idea of a local, visible, called out, organized assembly of believers, baptized believers who have identified with Christ's burial, death, burial, and resurrection. So therefore, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, listen, which he hath purchased with his own blood. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul calls it the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So I'm glad tonight because of Christ that I'm a part of the church. Now folks, this church, the church I'm speaking of at this moment is a universal church. Now preacher, what do you mean? Everybody that has accepted Christ as their Savior and him alone, by grace through faith, they're a part of the body of Christ, the church. The only way you can be a part of the body of Christ is to be saved into it. So goes the local assembly. You don't just show up at a church and say, I'm joining this church today. Well, wait a minute now. Are you? Are you saved? Amen. What's your testimony? If you have to get saved to be part of the body of Christ, the church, you better have a testimony before you try to join a local church. That's right. If you haven't been baptized, you're joined by baptism. That's right. Amen. Now, if you have been baptized, you can join by a statement of faith of your testimony. Or you can send for a letter of recommendation from your former church. Amen. Amen. So therefore, if you're going to be a part of the body, you got to be born again. If you're going to be part of the local church, the local body, you got to be born again. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. That's right. Well, I'm going to give the church $250,000 a year. How about me join it? What's your testimony? You mean to tell me you're not going to let me join? And me tell you I'm going to give you that kind of money? Nope. It goes back to this deal. I'd rather have you mad at me than the man that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and taters on it too. Amen. 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 And you know, we're not for sale anyway. Amen. You get saved, you get right with God, by all means, put that in the plate, hoss. But that alone ain't getting you in. You got to be born again. But when the Lord ordained his church, folks, you understand that God, and I'll probably repeat this in a minute, but the Lord has ordained, the Lord has willed, it's his plan, that his work be carried out through his people, the church. By his people, through his people. Now, again, I don't want to upset anybody, but I need to tell you where we stand. That way you don't have to wonder. Folks, I believe this with all of my heart. If God has ordained a local church to be birthed somewhere, that he will supply the needs of that church through his people. The Lord has never, ever, if you show me a verse, I don't need your logic. I don't need, well, preacher, what it? No, no, we're going to forget that because we live by faith. And if the Lord has ordained a local church, then we will not have to solicit from the world to do his work. Amen. Now, if someone is not saved, a businessman out in the world, if he just wants to donate, that's fine. We're not going to go ask him to pay the power bill. Amen. We're not going to ask him to make a mortgage payment. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. We're not going to ask him to pay the insurance. Right, yeah, the church has to pay power bills and insurance and... You understand? I mean, that's not free. We're not going to solicit. And that means, and I'm not being arrogant. We're not washing cars to do it. We're not baking cakes to do it. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll give to God if I get something back. Bless your heart. Now again, if we had a Christian school and they was going on a mission trip or had some young people going on a mission trip, then I would consider it. But as far as the work of the New Testament local church, God never ordained the world to take care of that. As a matter of fact, I believe if our young people here went on a mission trip, we could take up enough offerings to take care of it. Now you say, well, every church ain't like that. I understand that. I understand that. And again, I'm not beating up on anybody else, but God wants his work done through his people. That's right. These missionaries, they go on deputation. Why? Because they're trying to work through the local church to do what God's called them to do. Are you listening to me? So anyway, that's just a little tidbit of something or other. But there are three basic principles concerning God's church. Number one, I'm going to give them to you quickly. Number one, some of us missed our nap because we was visiting today. I want to see, first of all, the church expanding. Or I could say growing. Look at verse 19 again in the text. Now, when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. Then we know that they preached to the Grecians in verse number 20. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. There's faith and repentance in that verse. Is that right? They believed and turned. They believed and they turned. Faith and repentance. That's what repentance is, turning from to something. What was the people of Thessalonica? They left their idols, turned to God. So anyway, we see a great number. The church expanded because there was a unified passion. In verse number 20, the first part, it talks about now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose against Stephen, traveled as far. Now look what they're doing. They had a passion. You understand the death of Stephen ignited the gospel being spread? The church had went through some persecution. A spirit-filled deacon that, hey, the heathen around the church couldn't stand, or in the church couldn't stand, and they lied on him and had him stoned. And Stephen saw the Lord standing. Now, I'm not debating this either. I don't really stand here. But some believe that Christ was standing. Had Israel repented at the message of Stephen, he was coming back. That's a weak limb to me. But I believe he was standing because, hey, he was recognizing he had a child that was being martyred. And he wasn't taking it sitting down. But through that persecution, every time you read in history where the church went through persecution, the church grew.
Right.
Somebody told me one time, said, I asked them about the area they lived, and you go to church there, and they know all they do over there is trade members. I said, that's what they do everywhere now. Well, what you mean, preacher? We ain't been through enough persecution in this day. And I'm not voting for it by any means. But every time in history you find where the local church has gone through persecution, it's grew. People get saved.
Right.
The question is, are we willing to be persecuted so folks will get saved? See, verse number 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they had came to Antioch, folks, you understand, they walked over 300 miles. That took passion. No thriving church is ever built without passion. Now you listening? So we see that first of all, the church expanded because of an inward passion. Then the church had expanded because of inspirational preaching. Verse 20, the latter part, preaching the Lord Jesus. Preacher that exalted the Lord, evangelizing the lost. So it has to be an inward passion, inspirational preaching, and an invisible power. The church expanded. In verse number 21, the hand of the Lord was upon them. You want church to grow? That's how it's done. It's not done through entertainment. Not biblically. Not biblically. It's not done through working on emotions and making everybody happy, bringing in a glorified gospel comedian. Are you listening? It's done by, number one, God's people having a burden. That inward passion talks about a burden to see people saved. See, churches, there's enough people in our area. Landrum, Campobello, Columbus, Tron, Emmon. There's enough people, lost people, in these areas to fill up every Bible-believing church in this radius. They are. What's the problem? Us. Preacher, I take offense to that. Well, who all have you witnessed to the last week? Who have you handed a gospel tract to this week? Who you invite to church this week that's unchurched and lost? Unsaved. Who? There's my answer. Inspirational preaching. They had people with a burden or a passion. Inspirational preaching. But then they had to have that invisible power. They had to have the power of God. The power of God comes through clean living, continual asking. Are you listening? clean living, a prayer life. Folks, you said, well, God's really been moving around here. Somebody's praying. Now, we're not here to boast or try to get any credit for anything, but you know if you've been praying or if you've not been praying. So I asked the question, the way God's been moving. We baptized 13 or 14 last week. God's been moving. He was getting saved. And it's been a blessing. That somebody's prayed. Was it you? Was it me? Somebody's prayed. God don't move like that unless somebody gets a hold of the throne. It won't happen. Somebody's prayed. God's answered somebody's prayer. But yours? Did you pray? Did you ask God to move and manifest His presence? Huh? So we see the church expanding. Folks, the church, you say, well, preacher, and I've heard this too, and I'm not knocking it, but we're not in the reaping stage. We're in the gleaning stage. You know, the reapers and the gleaners. You can read that over in the book of Ruth, you know, where after the reapers go through, if I'm saying that correctly, the law was they had to leave the corners and different places for the poor to come and glean what was straggling here and there. And spiritually speaking, they're saying that's where we are in this day. I wouldn't argue that. We are in perilous times, but the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel has not lost any of its power. Amen. Now, here's where we are. It might be a little harder to reach sinners as far as getting them to listen and to show up because the devil has so much more to distract their heart. Now, I won't argue with that by any means. But the gospel still works. The gospel still works. The gospel will always work. Nothing else to work but the gospel. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection, preaching the gospel. So we see the church expanding. Number two, we see the church enlisting. Look at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he would go as far as Antioch, who when he came and seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all with that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So we see enlisting. See, as a church is getting established with baby Christians, it needs to have some structure. What do you mean? Well, after a person gets saved, the work is just beginning. This church, these early churches are just beginning. So what they do, number one, they enlisted a pastor, Barnabas. The selection of a man in verse number 22. Now, folks, you'll study the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter number 1. You'll find elder, pastor, bishop, preachers, all the same person. We have some today that still call themselves apostles. Folks, when John died on the Isle of Patmos, the apostolic age is over. God gave some apostles, not everybody. Amen. Apostles now, they exist today by name, but not by right. Amen. When John died on the Isle of Patmos, the apostolic age was over. You say, I don't believe that. Well, if they're going to be apostles, then they can't have any money. Huh? Read it. They can't have nothing. But they go from place to place, and God opens the door for somebody to take care of them while they're there. Oh, they got the name, but they got the Mercedes too. Not against anybody having Mercedes, they get it honestly, but don't call yourself an apostle. Because God breathed on his men and to give them the gifts, a temporary sign gift for the unbelieving Jew. And I don't mean to get into all this. You already heard me preach it 100 times. But the men today that call themselves apostles are not. If they're going to be apostles, be an apostle. It's amazing they can compromise on the restrictions and the details that God put in for an apostle, but still have the name. Somebody's messed up in their doctrine. Amen. There's some other things that I won't get into. The selection of a man, the spirituality of the man. Verse number 24, his character, he was a good man. His content, he was full of the Holy Ghost. His confidence and of faith. The sensitivity of the man, he's seen the grace of God. Verse number 23. The speech of the man. The Bible said, and who, when he came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they were cleaving to the Lord. What's he doing? He's leading them in deeper water spiritually with God. So they get saved, the church expands, they give them the gospel, but then what? You begin to grow. And God has set up an order of the church that we all know that he put a pastor there. Again, I'm so quiet, it's pitiful. But, we got four pastors at our church. Anything with more than one head is a monster. Right. We got 10 pastors at our church. You got a mess, what you got. Amen. That's not how God set it up. Boy, we're having a time on Father's Day. Amen. The enlistment of a pastor. Then the enlistment of partners. Verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to do what? For to seek Saul. Here's a picture, a plain picture. The pastor couldn't do it all alone. He needed help. And that's where we all, that lets us know that we're co-laborers. Yes, God has an order, but we're all laboring together. That's what Paul's taught. Amen. That's why he tried to teach the carnal Corinth. We're laborers together. Amen. I want everybody here to be able to work in the gift that God's given you. You saved, God's given you a gift. I want you to work in that gift. God put you in a local church. He give you a certain gift. Teach, sing. The ability to work and do things. Hey, it's all part of the ministry. There's no big ministries or big jobs in church and little. Hey, it's all to work together. Amen. Got men that's very talented in fixing things or working on things. God's given them that talent. They're working in that talent. Don't look at those people and say, yeah, you ain't no teacher, no preacher, no deacon. No. Hey, don't do that. Their reward will be as great as yours if they're faithful with what God's given them to use. There ain't no such thing as, I'm just a low this and that. No, we all God's children and we all working for the cause of Christ within our local church. We got people here that God's given talents to organize. To help people organize. To help get the hey folks, I've learned this. And I learned it a long, long time ago. I don't know everything, nor am I supposed to know it. If I know everything and can do everything, then what in the world are you doing here? That's not how it works. I need you. And you need me. And we need each other. Amen. Make yourself available for God to use you. Barnabas said, I can't do this by myself. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody I can call on. Make yourself available. So we see the church expanding, the church enlisting, but then we see the church exemplifying, being an example. Verse number 26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You know what they were doing that whole year? Teaching these people how to operate a New Testament local church. That's what they were doing. They were training them. One year. As they were growing, they began to set things in order. Set things right. Set things like it's supposed to set them. And that's the key. That's the key. So the church was exemplary in its instruction, and it was exemplary in its reputation. Now, I don't really like that word reputation, but yet the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What is that saying? They were something different. And they said, those guys were followers of Christ. They were followers of Christ. In this day, God's people don't want to be called Christians in Antioch or out in the world. How do you know? Because we do everything we can to blend in so we won't be called that or singled out anywhere we go. Huh? Sitting in a restaurant a while ago, and there's a couple come in and sit down. A man and woman. Of course, we done prayed and we was eating, and they came in. And I walked to the table and told them about it. They reached and got each other's hand. And they began to call on God, thanking Him for their food. But you know what was a blessing, though? We was in the Bible Belt, and of course, people come. Nobody went. There's some places where they would do that. I told myself, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. There was an example. The church began to grow in number. Then the disciples began to teach them. The apostles began to teach them truth. Set up God's plan for the organization of a church. And folks, again, we got to run it like God said. God's been burdening me about that. We got to run it like God said. Hey, it ain't no sense me preaching that and not do it. We got to. We got to do it. He'll take care of all the other stuff. I'm glad He's been patient and long-suffering, knowing my heart. But folks, God's way is the only way it's going to work. It's the only way it's going to work. Aren't you glad you're part of the church? I'm glad I'm part of the church, the body of Christ. I'm glad I'm part of a local church. Amen. I'm part of a local church. Folks, God ordained that we assemble together. That we come together to worship, to fellowship, and to serve together. God help us. Let's all stand. Ms. Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open if you need to come. Whatever your need is.